Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here, along with Pastor Steve. This is Yahweh's Covenant People for October 21st, 2016. Only a couple weeks to go before the big election, which will change history forever. I think whoever gets elected, whether it's Trump or Hillary, is going to change history for the worse. But today we're going to be doing part two of Who is Esau Edom? By Charles Wiseman. And we didn't have the music queued up for today, so we're just going to go right into it, and I'll just bring everybody up to speed, Pastor Steve. Yeah, we just
Go ahead.
Okay, we just finished up with page 11. And there is an abundance of ancient place names in Ukraine and Poland which derive from Khazar or Jid, Jew. Okay, all of a sudden we've got echo that we didn't have before the show started. If you're not hearing it, I can deal with it. I hope the audience isn't hearing it. Okay, but it's an attempt by Mr. Wiseman to explain why the Khazar people chose Judaism over Islam and Christianity. And it's really very simple. If the Khazars were in the middle of a fight between Islam and Christianity, and if the Bulan or the king of the Khazars had picked Christianity, he would have made enemies of Islam. On the other hand, if he had picked Islam, he would have made enemies of the Christians. So he picked the other alternative, namely Judaism, which didn't really antagonize either one of those, because Judaism was not really much of a factor in history at that time. So it was a purely political decision by the king of the Khazars to pick Judaism. It had nothing to do with theology, although there were, I would say, that the Hittite people being related to the Edomites of Palestine were, in fact, the related people. That may have had something to do with his decision, too, the Turks, Hittites, and Khazars being a related people. Okay, your comment there, Pastor Steve.
Okay, I had muted my mic, and it seemed to have killed the echo.
Very good.
And now it's back on. People need to understand that even these Khazars were a racial soup. They sort of had some identity, but they were related with the Hittites and all these ites that had spread out all over like lice in a the traditional lice that they put in the Jewish beard.
Right.
That they just, you know, it says in this next paragraph about the language. You mind if I read that?
Yeah, go ahead.
As the Khazars left their homeland of Khazaria and migrated north and west, they lost their name and became known as Jews. Okay, we know this. They had adopted that Talmudic religion. Their Yiddish language and alphabet is not that of the Israelites, Phoenician Greek style, but an amalgamation of Aramaic, medieval German, Slovak, and Russian dialects. Okay, well, these people had no connection whatsoever with Palestine.
That's right.
And they have interbred with the remnant of some of the people that did emanate from Palestine. They were driven out, and 90-some percent are the Ashkenazi Jews of today. The Sephardic Jews, which have actual ties to that land, are in a vast minority among modern Jewry.
That's right.
So modern Jewry not only is Talmudism, but are not even racially tied to what is known as the Holy Land. It is a total farce. And these predatory people have joined with the seed of the serpent, and we have this monstrosity known as Talmudic Judaism today. So these were the people that the Tsar threatened with death by the Cossacks. He was going to send them in and kill them all because they were throwing little children into pits full of starving wolves for entertainment.
Right.
Much like the Molech worshippers in the Middle East threw their own children in to the mouth of a great brass idol of Molech with fire in the belly, and they burned their own children to death.
Yeah, they were pagans.
They were horrible people, and they are horrible people today. By their fruits you shall know them. All the wars continuing today, the persecution and murder of many white Christians going on today. So let's move along here in this article because it is very interesting. The guy brings up a lot of points. We reiterate this stuff regularly on the show. So go ahead and get into the next paragraph,
but Eli. It's nice to have someone else lead the narrative besides us. And as we pointed out in part one, today being part two of our discussion here, Charles Wiseman is not a two-seed liner, but fully understands what the Jews are and how the Jews are the enemies of true Israel and the white race. Okay, so just briefly, the Khazars, from the research I've done, are an amalgamation of three different types of people, and we'll get into this next. Number one is the Japhethite, which is white. Japheth being the actually brings it up in a couple of paragraphs earlier, the brother of Shem. Okay. And also that the Turks are descended from that. But we know that the Turks and the Hittites interbred throughout history. And the Jews admit they have Hittite blood. The Bible tells us they do. And also we have a great infusion of Mongol blood among the Khazars. So, as you said, it's a racial soup. But none of it is Israelite. None of it. All right?
No. Not a shred, not one drop.
All right, and then he quotes H.G. Wells, who basically says the same thing. So I'll read the next paragraph. The best historical evidence, therefore, shows that the Jews are not descended directly from the Israelites of the Bible, but derive much of their ancestry from the Khazars and other people of Turkish / Asiatic blood. And that's absolutely correct. I couldn't have said it any better myself. Turkish / Asiatic blood. But, you know, we in a two-seed line include Hittite, that is Canaanite, Edomite blood, along with the Asiatic stock and Turkish stock that he mentions here. The Khazars are also of Edomite stock. Oh, very good. And both stocks make up the present-day Jews. He just mentions it, doesn't go into any detail, just mentions it. As the historian H.G. Wells states, quote, the Idumeans were made Jews, and a Turkish people, Khazars, were mainly Jews in South Russia, but that was religiously, okay, the main part of Jewry never was in Judea and had never come out of Judea. And H.G. Wells is talking about the Ashkenazi branch of Judaism. Okay? And that statement is absolutely 100% correct. The main part of Jewry, that is modern Jewry, never was in Judea. And he's talking about the Ashkenazi branch and had never come out of Judea. And that's exactly...
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be any more correct. All right.
Yeah, if it works, don't fix it, you know?
Yeah, right. That's right. According to the Jewish Encyclopedia, Wiseman says, the original stock of the Khazars came from the land of Edom. Hasdai ibn Shaprut, this is a quotation here, who was foreign minister to Abd al-Rahman, Sultan of Cordova, in his letter to King Joseph of the Khazars, about 960 AD, speaks of the tradition according to which the Khazars once dwelt near the Seir Mountains. Who dwelt in the Seir Mountains, Pastor Steve?
Edom.
Edom.
Edom. That was the domain of Edom.
Amen. Amen. The Seir Mountains are none other than the original land of Esau, Edom, as Wiseman says here. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom, Genesis 36:8. Seir was a mountain range south of the Dead Sea and was also known as the land of Edom. The Seir Mountains were the home of the Edomites for nearly a millennium. Thus, it should be no surprise that migrants from that land would recall the name of their original homeland, and this is where the Hittite-Edomite connection occurs in Turkey, because Turkey was the land of the Hittites for millennia before it was called Turkey, all right, or Asia Minor, okay?
Well, Esau marrying two women from different Hittite families, his progeny would further mix with the Hittites. They did not have enmity between them. They became one single people. And then they would intermarry as they traveled further afield with other Canaanites.
Yes.
And all the original Canaanites cannot be today separated into who is from one particular tribe, because they're all one now.
Yeah.
And they also mixed with the seed of Cain, who was the progeny of the Nakash enchanter, and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And they went out and he started fathering things. And they were known as the Cainy. And the Cainy intermingled so much that they disappeared way back when as a distinct people.
Right.
And that satanic seed line that hates the seed of Adam has mixed with all these other cursed seed people. And now they are all known in modern day as the Jews.
That's right.
They are not a distinct people. They are a racial soup, and that's why they have so many problems.
Racial diseases, genetic diseases, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so here Wiseman is 100% correct in tracing the bloodline, although he never uses the term bloodline, of the Edomites, of these Khazars, to back to Edom. Okay, and as we said, it was through the Hittites that that this bloodline mingled with the, well, how should I put it, the people who dwelt in Turkey, right, in Asia Minor, and moved up north into Khazaria and mixed with the Khazars. So however you cut it, the Jews of today, whether of Edomite stock or of Ashkenazi stock, are a non-Israelite people, and have always been the enemy of the true Israelites, namely the Caucasian people. So the enmity of the bloodlines predicted in Genesis 3:15 obtains to these two bloodline groups throughout history. This is simply proof that that prophecy in Genesis 3:15 has been upheld throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It does pertain to them.
Yes. All right. If the Khazars did originally dwell near the Seir Mountains, then the Khazars, and thus world Jewry, are racially of Edomite stock. Very good. But how and when did Edomites get into Khazaria? There is evidence that in the 6th century BC, some of the Edomites fled their homeland of Seir and migrated north. After the fall of Jerusalem, he's quoting the Bible now, Ezekiel 36:5. After the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC, the Edomites began to press northward. The extent and ultimate destination of this northward trek is not found in history, but it is likely that it brought some Edomites to the region of Khazaria, first through Turkey, of course. The Edomites were also cast out of Palestine and dispersed in different directions in 70 AD, when the Romans sacked Jerusalem. Many thousands of these people are known to have migrated northward to Asia Minor and around the Black Sea region. Now, this would be after, well after the Israelites had been taken captive by the Assyrians around 745 BC and had left the area and traveled into Europe. So what we see here is the Israelites pretty much, except for the Parthians, who remained behind and created the Parthian Empire, composed primarily of the House of Judah. And they were of Pharez. That's where they get the name Parthian. These people were separate and distinct from these Edomites and Turks. So you have the two bloodlines in the Middle East, the Hittite bloodline and the Parthian bloodline, still being enemies against one another. The story of the wise men coming into Jerusalem confronting Herod, very few Christians understand, very few people understand that these wise men were, in fact, Parthians. They were Parthian Israelites. That's why they were expecting the Messiah, right? Because they were Parthian Israelites. And Herod was very much afraid of these Parthians. Now, why would he be afraid of them?
Well, the same reason that the Jews are always in terror of the seed of Adam.
Right.
It is genetic. And when they are confronted with a pure Adamite, it upsets them greatly. They can just tell there's some sense from their father, the devil, that who we are. And I know it sounds Hollywoodish, but it is very much reality. I know they bristle whenever I come around.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not introduced to them, they can take one look at my large Scottish features with the beard and the blue eyes, and they know exactly what they are looking at.
Right.
They are looking of a pure blood son of Israel, of the seed of Adam.
Yes.
And it terrifies them to death, little kinky-haired slime.
Yeah, right. So our people had already left that vicinity by 70 AD. Very few of them left. Even Parthians, there are very few Parthians left in the Middle East by this point. Okay, so let's continue. When dealing with a people of mixed racial heritage, it becomes a real quandary as to ascertain their origin. And what's amazing, Pastor Steve, is that despite the fact that these Jews admit they're such a racial admixture, yet they still claim to be Israel. How is it possible that they have all these racial strains within them and still can claim to be Israel?
Well, they are liars. Their father is a father of lies. They rely on the fact that the white people are too lazy in most part, except for fanatics like you and myself, to actually study up on stuff and read the word as to what qualifies a person as Israel.
Yes.
And we have helped them as a people. We have been sloth in our studies. Today, the children are raised by the Talmud Vision and video games, and the people don't sit down, turn that thing off. Johnny, we're going to do Bible study. Oh, Daddy, I want to watch the monsters.
Right.
There's real ones outside, Johnny. I'm going to teach you about them.
Yeah.
Turn it off and come sit here. We're going to study Scripture.
And this will be much more interesting than Talmud Vision.
Right, because it's based on reality. But
yes,
the parents
are scared his pants off, too.
Because they don't want to upset the apple cart in the house. And the children will go to mommy, and mommy will tell daddy, and they'll have an argument. And they just don't want that. They got to worry about making their SUV payment and going to work in the morning.
That's right.
That's modern day society. We don't raise our children. We let them grow up like weeds.
Yeah,
the house I grew up in, it was when my father told me to do something, it was yes sir and no sir. Or it was, he had leather-soled bedroom slippers. And the heel of the bedroom slippers fit his hand so nicely. Nice, narrow, good grip. And the nice wide part where all the toes and the sole of the foot was fit a part of my anatomy that causes great pain when coming in sharp contact with the leather-soled bedroom slipper. So I learned to obey early on and didn't have a problem with it. Yes, sir.
Today, and your father would be dragged into court for corporal punishment.
Absolutely. You're a child abuser. Oh, my.
Yeah. But it's okay for Catholic priests to abuse children, but not for parents to abuse their children. But Wiseman,
pay them off. They'll give them a candy bar.
There you go. That's right. That's right. Wiseman continues, in fact, the Jews themselves assert they are mongrels because of, quote, the original mixed ancestry of the Jews and their subsequent history of intermixture with every people among whom they have lived and continue to live, from Ashley Montague's Man's Most Dangerous Myth. Now, I think Montague himself is a Jew, and I don't know what myth he's talking about, but probably the myth that the Jews are Israel.
Right. Well, that's how they hide among us and infiltrate everything that we do in our governments.
Yes.
And law and everything else. They hide. They change your name.
Yep.
You know, yep. Brad Pitt.
It's Pittstein from Pittstein to Pitt, right?
I don't know, but he's a Jew.
Yeah.
Sure, you know.
Okay.
Franklin Delano Rosenfeld.
Right.
Harry Truman, whose birth name was Solomon Schifrin.
Uh-huh.
Oh, we're going to have a Jewish president. We've had Jewish presidents.
Barack Obamastein, right?
Come on, you know.
Right? The anthropologist.
Hillary Clinton-stein.
Right,
you know.
Right. The anthropologist, Professor Carlton Kuhn, has also demonstrated the admixture of the different Jewish types with other races. He explains that while the Jews cannot be classified as a race per se, they are an ethnic group. Quote,
oh, yes.
Yes, that's for sure. The Jews form an ethnic group that, like all ethnic groups, they have their own racial elements distributed in their own proportions. Like all or most ethnic groups, they have their look, a part of their cultural heritage that both preserves and expresses their cultural solidarity. They have developed a special racial subtype and a special pattern of facial and bodily expression because it's a breed. The Jews are a breed.
And you've got sects within the Jews.
Right.
That are constantly at battle with one another. The Sephardim and the Ashkenazim never have gotten along.
That's right.
And you have other offshoot sects, the Lubavitch movement, and just all these weird things.
Yeah.
That was Menachem Schneerson's group.
Right, yeah.
Lubavitch. And they're weirder and weirder and weirder. If you think some of these Hollywood movies are weird, the Jews and their lifestyle is so twisted, and they all have different rules, and they never get along.
Yeah. Well, they different
when
theology.
They're united against us.
They have a totally different theology from one another. And some of them are more occult. Some of them are what you'd call traditional Talmudic, right? But these different groups, they do not get along. But as you just said, they are united against us. That's right. Okay. Wiseman continues, when we talk of the racial mixtures that brought about the Jews of today, we must highlight the events surrounding the Babylonian captivity of Judah. The remainder of the Judah nation, and that's the correct terminology, Judah, not Jewish nation, the Judah nation, which included, it's such a pleasure to read somebody who knows the correct terminology, right? Which included some of the tribes of Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon, was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. But at the same time, Edom was also put under Babylonian rule, causing some of the Edomites to be brought to Babylon. I'm sorry, I just really lost my page.
Jeremiah 27, verses 2-7.
Okay. Well, as you continue reading, I jumped all the way to...
I got you. When Persia overthrew Babylon, King Cyrus issued a decree, 538 B.C., now... I'm going to make a comment about that. His actual name is Koresh,
okay,
not Cyrus. It has been morphed into Cyrus,
uh-huh,
but his name was Koresh, like David Koresh.
Yeah,
okay?
Did David Koresh know
allowing,
that?
allowing the Judahites to return to their land and rebuild the temple, and that is listed in the book of Ezra, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. However, only about 50,000 returned to the land of Palestine. That's Ezra chapter 2, verses 64 and 65. Some of them had apparently departed to their kinsmen in Europe. Okay,
right.
There we go. Hi there, well, hi there, European Israelites.
Right.
However, many of the Judahites and Benjamites preferred to remain in Babylonia, becoming a part of the indigenous population. Those remaining had intermarried with the Babylonians and Edomites that were in the land and adopted their religion and law. Race mixing Judahites. Okay,
right.
We've got that going on today. Don't be surprised.
That's right.
The Babylonian Talmud, speaking of their law,
right,
which later became the foundation for Judaism. They have co-opted the name of Judah because they stole some of the Judahites,
right,
and then all of a sudden they're called Jews. These then became the Babylonian Jews. Then many of the people of the land became Jews. And I'm quoting Esther, chapter 8, verse 17.
Right.
They became Jews. They did not become Judahites,
right,
because they were not racially, genetically born,
right,
to that.
Okay.
They became a sect that called themselves by a false name.
Right,
right,
right.
Did you find your page yet?
Yeah, somehow I pressed the forward button.
Take it.
I pressed the forward button and advanced 10 pages. so I'm back to where you were reading. About a quick question here, because Peter was designated to go to Babylon to preach to his brethren in that territory. So it's more than likely that not all of these Judahites remaining in Babylonia intermarried
It did not say all.
Okay.
It said some.
Some. Okay.
Some.
And even in
Christ's time, in Jerusalem, a huge racial melting pot,
yes,
there were pure-blooded men of the tribe of Yehuda, that is Judah.
Right.
There were pure-blooded Judahites and Benjaminites there, and some others of the other tribes, some,
yes,
of them came along. They,
yes,
were not all exclusively of Judah that replanted themselves. They had some of the other tribes mixed with them.
That's right. That's right. All right, continuing with Charles Wiseman. Although they are called Jews, a term which is derived from the word Judah, these people are not true Judahites, but became a mixed or hybridized people consisting of Edomites, Hittites, Canaanites, Judahites, Babylonians, Ishmaelites, Huns, Khazars, etc. When they migrated to other lands throughout the centuries, they retained their Jew or Judahite identity, but brought with them the religion of Babylon. Okay, here, when who migrated to other lands? Obviously, the Judahites and other Israelites did not bring with them the Talmud. It is these mixed race, part Babylonian, part Edomite, that is, part Canaanite, and a smattering of Judah, a racial mix here, that can only properly be called Jews, because they just admitted.
Well, they went all. They are predatory in nature. They are parasites. They will go wherever white people set up civilizations,
right,
and set up shop to suck the blood out of that civilization and bring in their usury and their despicable business practices that they do. They follow us around the world.
Yes.
We may have set up cities up in there, and he said, "Oh, he's such a deal, we can get up there, we can take care of these, the money of the Goyim will be ours." And they go up there and do their thing, and they are not of Judah. They are, you have your book, The Great Impersonation, which details the impersonation by the Jews of us.
Yes.
They have convinced everybody through the control of the media that they are us.
Yeah, Israel.
They are not. And now our own people are waking up because Yahweh is letting the light bulb be turned on. The Holy Spirit's working, and they're hearing the truth. And they are finding out our people, who we are.
Yes.
You mean I'm an Israelite? Well, how can this be? And then we tell them.
Yes.
Yeah. And, oh my God, I've believed this all my life, and now I don't know what to think. Well, here, we'll help you study. Open your Bible to, and then we start from there. Do it with the Bible.
Yes.
Not our opinion. Our opinion. We're not purveying opinions. These are all documented facts. They've got a picture on this page, ladies and gentlemen, and they show a profile, side profile, of an ancient Hittite and an ancient Canaanite from a lot of the sculptures and the engravings and such. And then in the middle, they have the head of a modern Jew, and it is
a
carbon copy. They are of the Hittite and Canaanite ancestry. You see that in their facial demographics, how their head, their skull is shaped. They are different racially from us.
Yes.
And the only reason some of them look like us is because of deliberate planned interbreeding.
That's right.
So they have a place to hide.
And nose
like
jobs.
Cockroaches, like cockroaches under your kitchen cabinets.
Right, right. Well, the best way to describe the Hittite visage from the profile is the hook nose, receding forehead, and it's almost a 45-degree angle recession from the vertical. The Israelite Adamite profile is a very flat, straight face with a snub nose, not a hook nose. Okay,
our forehead is very high and very pronounced.
Very straight.
It is vertical, not laid over.
Yes.
That's brain matter.
Yes.
We have a little bump at the back of our skull. At the very base of your skull, you will find a little nodule of bone.
The Jews
do not have that.
Interesting.
They don't have that.
Okay.
Even if your eyes are brown, if you look in a mirror at your own eyes with a good light, you will see a ring of blue around your brown or green or gray eyes.
Okay.
You'll see a little ring of blue. That's one of the marks of Adam, folks.
Okay, interesting.
And the Jews basically are not from Adam. They are Adamite people.
They are from Cain.
They are from Cain. They're of the other bloodline.
Yes, outstanding.
The enemy's bloodline.
Great. All right, continue. By the way, we're reading from www.thechristianidentityforum.net. Esau Edom. The website is www.thechristianidentityforum.net. And we're right on page, I have to scroll up, I hope I don't jump the page, 14. Because of the Jews' mixed ancestry, history is sketchy as to their origins from Japheth, Esau, or other people in the Bible, and the Jews want it that way. They want this confusion. However, Identification of these persons or tribes can also be ascertained by the characteristics, prophecies, etc. revealed about them in the Bible. Since Esau Edom is one of the more predominant figures in the Bible, we will endeavor to ascertain his identification and place in historical and current events by these means. And that's what I did in The Great Impersonation, is simply tracing their history from the Bible into the modern world. Okay?
At length.
Yes, at length. Probably more length than what Wiseman does here.
Marvelous. I couldn't put it down. I just read.
Yes, and that book is available at www.anglo-saxonisrael.com, $37 postpaid if you go to the books section there at Anglo-Saxon Israel. But now, chapter 2. All the world's a stage. Excuse me. World events
you
and
sound
promise.
Like me.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a chest cold or something this week. Here, let me turn it off over to you, because I'm hacking right now.
Yeah, don't do a Hillary on us now.
Now you're making me laugh.
All the world, I know, it's terrible. All the world's a stage. This is chapter 2. World events and problems. There is a great deal of confusion as to the nature of world events. There are mysterious political changes, sudden international conflicts, wars, peace talks, financial upheavals and disasters, government corruption and oppression, problems with churches and schools, a change in moral values, and talk of a new world order. Much of what has happened and much of what is happening in the world is being misconstrued and misunderstood by ministers and politicians, statesmen and writers, teachers and historians, and all for the same reason. This book is intended to shed some light on why most are in ignorance about such things which are or have occurred in the world. In order to help us understand certain historical and current events in the world, let us reflect back on what the great English playwright William Shakespeare once stated, that all the world's a stage and the men and women in it merely players.
And the Jews own the theater. I just threw that in.
And the film rights.
Yeah, right.
This now you got me doing it.
Okay.
This statement is based on an obvious observation. Now, certain people and nations appear to be acting out a prescribed role in history as though it were planned in a play. Well, it is in a way.
It sure is, yeah.
It is as though some persons or races or nations were assigned a character role and are destined to follow this role assigned to them while on the earth. This is quite true.
That's right.
And page 16 starts out with the script. The statement by Shakespeare also has a divine significance to it and a definite scriptural basis, as much of what has happened in the world has been acted out in accordance to God's word and his plan for the world. It is not by accident that certain things happen the way they do, or that certain people act the way they do. The plans of God and the providence of God revealed in the Bible are at work in this world.
Amen.
Now, I'll comment on that. We are seeing the play that is being put on by the Republicans and the Democrats. They all talk the same thing before the election.
Uh-huh.
As according to their party line, they are opposed to one another.
This is
a play. After the election, they are no longer talking their opposing party lines. They are walking in lockstep.
Yes.
Because the playwright himself has appeared on the scene and is directing the play at that point. And it is a Jewish playwright.
Right.
And he is directing this Jewish play for Jewish benefits and charging you usurious rates just to watch it.
Right, right. And so, very often these Republicans and Democrats are sleeping in the same bed together after the election.
Republicrats and Democrians.
Yes, right, right.
There you go.
Yes.
They're the same. There is no difference. They all do the same thing after the election.
Right. New World Order.
If one party was opposed to integration, like they said they were back in the day, and it was the Democrats back then.
Right.
Look up your history. Read what was done. You know, all those people were Southern Democrats.
Right. Well, wasn't George Wallace a Southern Democrat?
They were all opposed to integration.
That's
but
right.
By golly.
They aren't anymore.
Both parties voted it in.
Right.
And George Wallace gave a tearful apology for his behavior prior to his death.
Uh-huh.
He knuckled under.
Wow. Well, I know they tried to assassinate him. Took a
bullet. Well, they shot him.
Yes.
But he was afraid they were going to finish the job.
That's right. That's right.
Why won't David Duke give the whole truth? Why does he only give pieces and parts?
Right. Why does he say the Khazars are Israelites?
These shows out here that'll touch on the fringes of it and hint, but they won't do what we do here on EFR and just lay it all right on the line.
That's right.
They won't do that.
See, we've got the program, folks. We identify all the actors on the stage.
You think we're not putting ourselves at risk, folks. We are. We know this.
Yes.
We know this. I just finished up a long prison term for telling the truth. And I'm back.
Yes.
I belong to Yahweh. I know, no loyalty except to Yahweh. And neither does Eli.
That's right. It's the truth or truth or bust. Yes, your folk radio. Truth or bust. No matter how much it hurts. All right. Yeah. So please continue. This is right on the money. There's the Jewish script and Yahweh script. But little do the Jews know. Let me just comment here that they're playing the part that Yahweh has scripted for them too, whether they realize it or not.
They have no idea what's coming.
They
need to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10.
Yes.
Thus, the Bible is actually much like a script for a play. It is a writing or type of manuscript from God about certain people and events. Reaching far into the future, I may add, personally.
That's right.
It should be noted that the word scripture means anything written. Webster says it comes from the Latin word scribo, meaning to write. The word script comes from the same Latin word and can mean the same thing. The word scripture, as used in the New Testament, is the Greek word graphē. That's Strong's number 1124, and is derived from the word grapho, number 1125, which means to write or describe by writing. Thus, in Scripture, God is describing things through his messengers by writing. The Bible, then, is much like a script for a play. It describes and contains in its writing those things essential to any production or play to be acted out on stage. The Bible, being like a script, contains the following attributes of a script. It has a story or stories to tell. It has an author, which is God. It tells of and describes certain actors or characters and their role in the story. The characters in this script, Bible, are individuals, nations, or peoples. Some have short roles, others long and continuing roles.
And I would add bloodlines, too. More importantly,
yes,
bloodlines.
That's it. Yes. That's it. That qualifies them for certain roles.
That's right.
It describes certain scenes or events that have or will or are currently transpiring on stage, being the planet Earth.
That's right.
The stage is, as Shakespeare stated, the world or the earth. This is where everything takes place, or where all acts and scenes are performed. It has a theme or themes which the stories and events revolve around. So the Bible is God's script or writing of what is to transpire in the world and identifies the characters involved.
Yes.
The confusion and misunderstanding so many are having with what is going on in the world today is that they don't know who the main characters are or their roles in the script. For instance, imagine yourself watching a play on stage and one character who you believe to be a servant is actually a nobleman. And the actor who appears to be the hero is playing the role of a thief or a villain. One character enters on stage, you don't know what role he is following, and are unable to identify him as one of the characters in the script. You can see how all the events transpiring on stage right before your eyes make no sense, and any attempt to interpret what is happening and what the play is about could only lead to erroneous conclusions. Even with the script in front of you, the story still would be misconstrued if unable to identify the characters in the play.
And of course he means if you confuse Jews with Israelites.
Right? That very pertinent observation.
Yes.
Eli.
Yeah.
This same situation exists with many events in the history of the world and how they relate to the Bible. God had had chosen, the script is a little boogered up here with a bad copy. God had chosen certain characters or people to act out certain roles and be part of certain events in the world. In other words, the seed of the Adam and the seed of the Nakash.
That's right.
The evil enchanter, okay? Without knowing who these characters are, not only are the events that take place in the world confusing and misconstrued, but it will close much of the Bible to true understanding. That's why we always say, study to show yourselves approved.
That's right. That's right.
It is critical we understand who the characters are and their proper role in the script. Okay? You have to read the word. So well, now we're getting into Esau, Edom.
Yes, yes.
Messiah has set the preface for this portion of the play to identify these characters.
Now we in Two Seed Line know that it goes even earlier, before Esau and Jacob, to Cain and Abel, and the Genesis 3:15 prophecy of the enmity between the two seed lines. Okay,
but exactly.
But for purposes of bringing us up to date, we really don't even have to go back that far because we can't identify the Jews as derived from Edom. And even the Khazar Jews, we have already discussed their relationship to Esau.
And they openly claim so.
Yes, they do.
It's not like we're making something up about them. They brag on it.
That's right. In their own publications, they don't brag about it publicly. Yeah. That's why you
have
to study.
No, you won't see them on NBC, CBS, or ABC, or CNN, or Fox, or any of the others. Yeah. But they think it's secret. Oh, come off it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's becoming less and less as secret as we go. All right, but actually we have about 9 minutes left. I think we can finish chapter two today.
You want me to read on? I'll do that.
Yeah, keep reading on.
To help clear up the confusion, we will attempt to identify one of the main characters in God's script, that being Esau or Esau Edom. We can identify who is Esau Edom by reading in the script, in parentheses, the Bible, what was written about him, what he was to be doing on stage, the earth, what his role was to be, predestination, and what characteristics and attributes were assigned to this actor by prophecy by the author.
Yes. God. Now, let me just interject here, because I know some people will be thinking, well, if all this is pre-scripted and predestined, does that eliminate free will? And I say, no, it doesn't, because it's how you respond to all of this. Number one, as a member of the audience, and you're actually a member of the play, whether you realize it or not, which side you choose and how you respond to either pick the Esau Edom side, or you pick the Adamic side, the Jacob Israel side. And that you're free to choose which side you join. Okay, so the script, the play was written, but the acting out of the play still depends on you. You are not, Yahweh is not telling you what to do, how to react, how to respond. It's really your choice, your opinion there, your comment there.
Okay, well, he is setting the stage and has predestined certain events.
Right.
Almost all involving non-Adamics and the enemy's players, okay? How we react to and which side we choose is the purpose of our life on this planet. This is only a temporary temple in which we are living. It is a testing ground to see which side of the fence we jump off onto.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a puzzle.
A lot of people are straddling the fence still, and we're trying to get them to make a choice to join Yahweh's forces.
Right.
Because lucky us, we have the script, and we read the last chapter, and we win.
Right. It's almost science fiction, too, because it's really the drama is intense as to which side you choose, because your very soul depends on making the right decision. So, in other words, you have to, this is a dramatic puzzle, and you really have to figure out who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. And but the clues are obvious. Jesus said, by their fruits shall you know them, right? And so, once you follow that rule, it's really easy to find out who the bad guys are. But the churches don't like to quote that verse or the other verses that identify who Esau is in the script. Over to you.
Okay, let's get back to this here. We then need to compare all this to historical, and current events, and see if any of the persons or nations involved fit the role of Esau Edom or possess any of his attributes. Just like when we see a creature who has a flattened, scaly tail, who cuts down trees with its teeth, has thick, brownish fur, prodigiously builds dams, has aquatic habits, and is warm-blooded, we can identify it as a beaver.
Oh, I thought he was talking about Hillary. Yep.
Don't insult the Buck perfectly teeth. Good beavers. God had assigned these roles and characteristics to the beaver.
All right.
And they are permanent marks of its identification. In like manner, the script of God reveals certain roles and characteristics surrounding Esau, Edom, by which we can identify this people. From the foregoing chapter, we have one good clue as to who may occupy the character of Esau, Edom, that being the Jewish people. The following material will help to verify this. If we know that one of God's actors, such as Esau, Edom, is to perform a certain act or possess a certain characteristic, then when we see someone doing the act or expressing the characteristic, we have identified the actor on stage or in the world. No student of history or modern affairs can appreciate the significance of world events without the knowledge of who is Esau, Edom, and their connections with Jewry being the main genetic source.
Right.
I add.
Yes.
So, by their fruits ye shall know them, people.
Yes.
And we'll do chapter 3
next time. Yes.
Next week. Because this guy goes on and he just has a dynamite program here, even yes. though he was a single seed liner at the time.
Yes.
A single seed liner is just a dual seed liner whose light bulb hasn't come on quite yet.
Right, right. But tracing it back to Esau Edom is a very necessary step. And if it doesn't go all the way back to the Garden of Eden and the tracing of the Cain bloodline versus the Sethite bloodline.
Cainy.
Yeah, and by the way,
Q-E-Y-N-I-Y.
And by the way, many more Jews are named Cain, Kagan, Kaganovich, etc., etc. Oh, I mean, their surnames identify their Canaanite heritage. Okay, and they're proud of it. Okay, so here again, you have all these clues as to the two seed lines, but what he's doing here, he's tracing the seed lines from Esau, Edom. Okay?
Yeah.
Not all the way back to the garden, but from Esau, Edom, which is good and a necessary part of the story. Okay? A very important part of the story to identify, because if you can't identify the good guys from the bad guys in the play that's called the history... And the Jews are always impersonating the good guys. They're always clobbering the good guy over the head and changing their costume to appear like the good guy. And people fall for it, especially white people. Good white people fall for
they
it.
They are very effective in their deception. People forget that their father... Fallen angel was a very high up divine being.
Right.
He was an evil. It turned evil.
A son of the morning.
He's very powerful.
That's right. Okay. With just about a minute left, can you differentiate between son of the morning in the Old Testament? Isn't that what Lucifer was called, or the fallen one? Son of the morning?
Well, yeah, he was called, both he and Yeshua were both called that.
Yes.
And he fell, and Yeshua did not.
Yes, that's the difference.
Yeshua being a direct a manifestation of Yahweh.
Father. Of the Father.
Well, Hillel, whom they called son of the morning, was replaced by Michael, the archangel. He has been replaced in the heavenly host. Hillel is the earthly archangel. He's a very powerful.
Oh, yeah.
I don't believe in the devil and all that. He just won a victory.
Yes, that's right.
He is very physical. His children, his seed line.
Physical and
physical.
Spiritual.
His minions are physical. They're here.
It's both. It's both physical.
The war in heaven has not ended. It continues.
That's right. It won't end until the judgment day.
In it.
Yes. All right. That will set us up for next show. Thanks, Pastor Steve. for subbing for me as the host of today's show. Thanks for listening, folks. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. See you next time.
Shalom Aleichem.